It's time for the Daily Power Play.
He scores! A power play goal for the Predators.
Covering the Predators and the NHL.
With a shot that stopped by Searle.
Now on Chase and Michelle.
Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase McKay, Michelle Knezovic here with you. Let's say hello to Max Herz, who will be a part of or hosting pregame tonight starting at 5 o'clock as the Predators take on the Boston Bruins. Max, what's up?
Morning, team.
Morning.
All right, so obviously the homestand, the last two games didn't go the way the Predators had planned, but I think we all know the situation that, one, Toronto is one of the better teams in the league. Seattle's fighting for a spot as well in these Western Conference playoffs. Now they got to play Boston tonight. And, oh, by the way, they're doing it without Philip Forsberg, Roman Josi, Ryan Johansson. Matt Duchene is somebody that's now been banged up. So, obviously, things stacked against them, yet we're still seeing a lot of improvement and good play from the young guys. What's kind of your thoughts on where they sit right now?
Yeah, two things based off what you said. First and foremost, I do not think we can possibly overstate the caliber of the players that are out. Their three best goal scorers left on the team post-trade deadline, Forsberg, now Duchene, and Johansson. Their best player, Roman Josi, Ryan McDonough was out for a lot of this time, and a guy who, as your fourth defenseman, really makes that group a lot better when he's in the right slot, and Alex Carrier. And then I think we've already forgotten, because we were so used to seeing him every night and now just haven't seen him, how good Yusuf Parsonen was and how much stability he brought to the forward group in a variety of different roles with a variety of different line mates at center. And he played some power play time. He was someone who they wanted to integrate into the penalty kill as the season went on. And I think they probably would have gotten him there down the stretch if he were still playing. So they're really missing a lot. And despite those limitations, they are playing close to complete games against these really good teams. Seattle, they just gave it away in a 4-goals-against in a 9-minute stretch. And then in Toronto, I thought they had to kill way more penalty time than they should have. I thought 4 of the 5 calls against the Preds on Sunday were really, really soft stick violations. And I strongly disagreed with 2 of them, especially. So, I mean, if it weren't for those two things, they're right there with these teams, and they're missing 6 immensely valuable players.
Max Herz is with us. Yeah, and I agree with that. And the interesting part, of if you look at where they are in the standings, they're 5 points out of a playoff spot, which is basically what they have been, really for the last several weeks. They just can't seem to make up any ground. But they also have Vancouver that's well behind them in the standings, so that's kind of where they are. And you know, it unless something really, really changes, it's likely to be where they finish as the season is winding down. So I look at it as they've done their plan, they've gotten draft picks, they're still in contention to make the playoffs. Anything else that's good is just gravy at this point for them. Based on the young guys getting the production and the way that they're playing.
Yeah, I agree. And, I mean, I think it's safe to say they are the 10th best team in the Western Conference right now. And if they end up in the top 8 and get a playoff spot, which is still possible, it would be amazing. And it would be an extreme overachievement. So I think with the current players that they're playing every night, even with UC Saros in there as arguably the 2nd-best goalie in the league, behind the dude we're going to face tonight, Linus Ullmark, I think it's fair to say that this current group, with all they're missing, as 10th in the Western Conference, is a pretty fair result.
Max Herz joins us right now. Max, we had David Poile on earlier this morning, and he credited these young guys, which has been, you know, the main topic after the trade deadline. And, you know, if you look at the Predators' opening night lineup, Forsberg injured, Granlund traded, Duchene injured, Nina Ryder traded, Johansson injured. Okay, you've got Sherwood, Trenin and Sissons, Janot traded, Smith, Glass, Tolvanen waived, Josi injured, Carrier injured, Ekholm traded, McDonough, Burrow injured, Fabro and Saros. So, you know, when you look at the lineup they started with this season, it is very, very different to the lineup that they have currently constructed. when you take a look at what this team has been able to do and the fact that they are still fighting for a playoff spot, although hard, you know, to secure one, who do you credit more for that success? The coaches or the players stepping up night in and night out, Max?
That's a good question. I mean, both groups definitely get credit.
Yeah, of course.
I think I would probably credit the players if I had to pick which group I would give more credit to, just because of the extra things that so many of these players have had to do. I mean, there have been games where Tyson Berry, who's been on the team for 3 weeks, has had to wear a letter as an alternate captain.
Yeah.
And that speaks to how much of the leadership has been out. Not that Tyson Berry doesn't deserve to be a member of the leadership group, but he just joined the team. So that's how it's going right now. And I think without the leadership, the presence of especially Colton Sissons and Ryan McDonough has been massive to make sure that the team, obviously this goes without saying, that the team is still trying to win. That's the most important thing, that they kept them trying to win. But also I think they've given the younger half of the room a really high comfort level, which is really valuable because as players come up to make their debuts, often they're kind of on a solo mission and maybe they feel a little left out, especially if they're a foreign player and English isn't their first language and things like that. But it's almost like the room is half and half right now. The guys who are 25 and younger and then the guys who are more established. And it's so funny to see because the young guys are not bashful about cracking jokes in there and letting their personality show and leading the team in their own special way. And I think, obviously, Yossi captaining the team through most of this gets a ton of credit for that. But since he's been out, I think Sissons and McDonough deserve a lot of credit, too. So I think across the board, the players are really comfortable right now. And it shows in somebody like Sherwood, who had a flash right at the beginning of the season on opening day, and then just was not playing his game. And now he's come back, and in this current team climate, he is like the one guy whose game never slumps for the Preds. So it's been interesting to watch kind of how everyone has fit in individually.
And, you know, discussing some of the main guys that have been injured or out for this team that, I mean, Duchesne, Forsberg, Yossi, McDonough for a period of time, and then you add in maybe some of the younger guys like Tommy Novak and Cody Glass. Juuso Parsonen has been hurt. What do you think some of these lines could look like next year for the Nashville Predators? Mm-hmm. And who do you think as a young guy has solidified a starting top six job for this team, Max?
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. And I keep like, I don't know. I you need to think about Ryan Johansson first because we lost Johansson right around the trade deadline. Like it almost feels like he was traded, which is so sad to think about because obviously he's not traded. He's still on the team. He's around every day. So it first and foremost starts with what does Ryan Johansson's role look like as the top center on this team? Is he still going to be with Matt Duchesne with those two guys next season? I think that's the first thing you want to figure out. And then who would be the second winger to play with them? Could it be someone like Tomasino? Mm-hmm. And then my next question would be, who do you like with Parsonen? Because he played with pretty much everybody. And Philip Forsberg loved playing with him. So if you don't load up Forsberg, Johansson, Duchesne, your three best veterans on a line, I think you think about pairing Forsberg with someone like Parsonen. And then what do you do with Glass? You probably want to keep Glass at center. Do you also keep Novak at center? Do you think about Novak maybe trying a wing? So I think a lot of things are in play. And then you've got Tomasino, Evangelista, Afanasyev in terms of guys who I think could push for the top six. And with Matt Duchesne out, I would love to see Igor Afanasyev in the top six down the stretch this year to see what he looks like.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%. Max, appreciate it. I know, you know, things obviously tough in our city right now. But we'll be listening tonight at 5 o'clock when you have pregame.
Yeah, thank you guys. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Max Hurst will be on pregame starting at 5 as the Predators take on the Boston Bruins. We'll continue the Predators talk coming up next because now the injuries have been mounting up. And David Poile was on with Robbie and Michelle earlier today and spoke on that a little bit. We'll discuss that coming up next. Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.